Well, we're just going to spend a few moments this time because with their taken homes, you had them to take it home with you. But it's actually a continuation of the Christ Before Christmas, except this time I want to share a couple scriptures with you dealing with Jesus ruling, reigning, and creating from the beginning. Jesus ruling, reigning, and creating from the beginning. So it's just so powerful what he was doing before he came and humbled himself. Just can't comprehend how God had sent Jesus to be born of a human being, which had to be done in order to redeem us. And we know that. But to humble himself from where he was to do that for us is an amazing love, amazing grace that he has shed upon us so richly in Christ Jesus. And so in sharing this, the Jesus before, the Jesus that we hear about this time of the year being born, he always was. It's good to see those scriptures to confirm that to our hearts and get excited about that, because God from the beginning had a plan for us to get it right. We need help though. We can't do this on our own. So today, just for a few moments, if you would turn to John chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 about something that Jesus said about what was going on between him and the Father in the beginning. In John 17, the Gospel of John, "These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee." And by the way, if there's any glory in your life, you're to use that glory to glorify God, not you. Glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you. If Tim Tebow has any glory of Jesus Christ, he certainly has got it, and he's using it to glorify Jesus Christ in such a national platform, and it might say world platform. The world is watching him, the sports world. Glorify me that I may glorify you. And sometimes we have an attitude of not really wanting to be glorified to glorify him, because we kind of want to do it our way. So if there's any glory in you, which there is, because the glory of God has come to you by the gift of the Holy Spirit, you are to glorify God with that life. It's not about you, it's about him. And you can't glorify him when you get your little mouth going or your attitude going. It's not glorifying the Lord. That's why I learned I can't run. I cannot run anymore. I can't run. Where are you going to go? And we all know about the story where Linda made it to the gate one day. We used to have a gate out there from the school, being upset with the students or whatever. She made it to the gate. I'm done. I'm out of here. I am done. I'm finally going to do this. I'm going to leave you jerks, you know. So she got around the corner. She got to the gate, and it's just like, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? And so she had some thought process going on there, and the Lord dealing with her. And so, all right, went right back to the classroom. But how many of you know it's easy to run? It's easy to go away from confrontation where you need to stand. That's what the woman that God is looking for. That's the man that God is looking for. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. So yes, I have grown. Some pastors may think they've always been there. I don't know. But I'm one that is in a process of growing. Still growing, still learning. Still learning not to run, not to go, not to, you know, whatever. But Jesus says something that we need to take to heart. I want the scriptures. Naomi says, I want the scriptures to be real to me. I want to read, and I want it to be relative to me. If you can't relate that way, then what good is it? You're just reading. But it's got to get into here. It's got to go from here, you know, about 12 inches, whatever, from here to here. here to here, from the head to the heart. So Jesus says the hour has come, and by the way, God is never late on his appointments. The hour has come. Jesus is getting ready to be crucified, by the way. That's what he's talking about. The hour has come. And he's talking about God glorifying him in this horrible process. And yet we think we got it so bad because whatever went on in our life that we feel sorry for ourselves. And yet Jesus is talking about glorification in such a trial, horrific trial, being crucified. And he knew he was going to be crucified. He knew it. He was born to die for us. He knew he was going to be crucified. Remember, we're talking about him who was from the beginning, who knows us, who knows the world, who knows all the kings and all the rulers, and the hour has come for you to do this to me. I can't go there hardly. My brain just, it's awesome what he did. His love for us. Subjected himself to the whole birthing process. You know, the whole process of having to eat and drink and do all the things that we do and, you know, are all the things that man goes through. He subjected himself to this human body. And then after doing all that, here he says, now they're going to do something else to me. I come to save them, they're going to kill me. Well, you're not going to really be dead. But his body did, his heart quit beating. That body died. But he also knew he was going to resurrect. Didn't make the pain any easier. We're going to do some dental work. And it doesn't make the dental work easier just because afterwards you know you're going to have some restoration. It's still not something you look forward to. But anyhow, he says, glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify thee. It says, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. That's authority. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, any other worldview, any other person, anybody that's come along through the ages to come up with some kind of a way for you to get some type of enlightenment is foolishness. Only Jesus has the authority to give eternal life. Only Jesus. And out of 7 billion people on the earth today, there's just a few that has taken God up on that. Just a few. Narrow is the way. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. I glorified thee on the earth, verse 4, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. I have finished it. I've accomplished it. Even on the cross, you know, when he gave up the Spirit, it says, it is finished. I've accomplished the work you have given me to do. And now, verse 5, here's the big nuclear verse about Jesus. And now, glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, I want to say this, and I don't mean to offend anybody. Go find out that birthday. He always was. But he did have a birthday, and we're going to glorify God because he had a birthday down here, because that's what saved us. That's the whole problem. It had to happen. It's just that I want us to understand we need to glorify God when the world's celebrating the birth of Christ, celebrate way beyond that God's plan of our salvation through Jesus Christ. See, go way beyond just one day. Keep that, hide that, know that in your heart. That had to take place. But it goes way beyond that in God's plan, and after that in God's plan. One day, he will come back, not this time as a lamb, but as a lion. Even talks about being on a horse, a white horse, and oh golly. Can you imagine being John the Isle of Patmos, seeing the future, not really knowing, but just saying things like, and I saw what looked like, and this and that, and oh my. The red horse, the pale horse, the black horse. and with a gray horse. All symbolic, all futuristic. And God, from the beginning, has a plan to do it His way and to save those who want to be saved. Wow. All right, my brother called me one day while we were talking, and he said, "Have you seen John 17:5, where it says, and glorify thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was?" I said, "Yes." That was my brother Jack. I said, "Yes, I'm familiar with it. Isn't it glorious?" He said, "Yeah, he's talking about, you know, the glory I had with thee before the world was. And what is that glory all about?" And I looked up glory, this D-O-X-A, doxa. It means splendor, brilliance, from the awesome light that radiates from God's presence and is associated with the acts of power, honor, praise, speaking of words of excellence, and assigning highest status to God. Well, I just want to share something with you about someone who had a little bit of experience with that glory in the heaven of heavens, in the third heaven. Here's a little bit of that glory. See, Jesus came from that glory to be born of a woman, to redeem us. It had to be. He was in glory, and now He's going to come down here, humble Himself to be born of a woman. To do this. Let's get this done, Father. Let's get it done. God in the flesh, God incarnate. But there's something glorious about heaven that cannot be explained now. It's going to have to be experienced later. So Jesus doesn't get into the details of that glory. We know Moses' face shone when he had an experience with God, and they couldn't even look upon him. You know, he's the glory of God, being in God's presence. But there's glory that is there, and if you were there right now, Carolyn, and just went there for just a few seconds and came back here right now in this place right now and came up here and said, "Look, I was just there. I was just there," and you couldn't say much because it's inexpressible. But Paul experienced something, or he talked about somebody that did experience something. I believe it was Paul, and it says in 2 Corinthians 12:1-5. 2 Corinthians 12:1-5, Paul says, "Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord." We do experience visions and revelations from the Lord, and He did, and God can manifest that anytime He wants. And verse 2 in 2 Corinthians 12:1-5, you don't need to turn there, just listen to it if you want. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven." Is there a third heaven? Or is he just kind of messing with our brains a little bit, kind of teases about this heavenly of heavens, this heaven that Jesus came from? It's there. There is a third heaven. We have the earth, we have the sky, we have the, you know, beyond that in our celestial system and all that. But there is a heaven that is above all heavens. It is God's throne. It is heaven. And He knows a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He says God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. So here's where Jesus came from, what He's experiencing right here. But listen to what He says. And He says, "I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body," He says, "I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak." And the King James says, "unspeakable words that are not permitted to speak." "On behalf of such a man will I boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses." Jesus left the glory of God to come to us, and there was a man who experienced inexpressible words in that third heaven. He cannot repeat. It's inexpressible. He can't speak about it, but he experienced it. It doesn't matter whether that was Paul or Paul really was talking about somebody else, but what does it do for you to know that God has gone to prepare a place for you? Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, He would have told you, "If I go prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you into myself." What does that do for you today with all the stuff going on in your life and all the stuff you got to deal with? What does that do for you to know that God has gone prepare a place just for you? To me, it imparts hope. No matter what I face down here, there's a destiny. I have a future. You have prepared for me. I have a destiny, or whatever. There goes my great voice again. But you know, praise the Lord. That's there. It's real. And Jesus, who was from the beginning, has gone back to that from the beginning to be with His Father and the glory that they had before He started this journey. Isn't that awesome? 1 John. Just another scripture here. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. 1 John. That's the James, Peter, John, Jude, John, and not the Gospel of John. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. What was from the beginning, and this is amazing, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our hand and our hands handled concerning the Word of Life. The Word of Life, Jesus left His home in glory, the third heaven, the heavenly of heavens, to come to the earth. And these people, this is amazing, have not only seen Him, they've handled Him. They've done all these things that it says here in verse 1, that we have heard, that we have seen with our eyes, that we beheld with our hands. They've touched Him, handled, our hands handled concerning the Word of Life. They touched Him. They talked to Him. This Jesus who came from heaven down to earth from the beginning, that His beginnings were ancient of times, without measure, without, we don't know how. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here He is, and they're handling Him. They're hearing Him talk. And it says in verse 2, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We have seen and heard, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And here it is, when we're talking about beginnings, we're talking about, the Greek word is arche, A-R-C-H-E, origin, first power, portion of the position of authority, a domain, first rule or corner. The very first beginnings of anything, the very first beginnings of a building is a cornerstone. And Jesus, we find, if you want to make reference to this, we're not going to turn to there right now. If you want to make reference to it, in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10, it talks about Jesus being a chief cornerstone. And if you don't want to do it, if you don't want to be a lively stone that is built upon that cornerstone, then you're going to stumble over Him, and you will be rejected if you're not acceptable of Him as a chief cornerstone. So anyhow, the word of beginnings goes all the way back, and one of the meanings is concerns a cornerstone, the very beginning of it all. So we go all the way back to Jesus in the beginning. He had a plan. God has a plan for us, for our lives to be built upon. And you can see it's not only we're in history. We're not in heaven right now looking back, and I'm not so sure what we'll know looking back when we're in heaven, when it's all over. Wow, wasn't that something back there on the earth? You know, I don't know if that's even going to be cognizant of that. It's not going to even be there. Because we'll be like Him. What's the use of knowing that stuff if we're with Him? And thinking about all the people who didn't make it. You know, Uncle Harry and Aunt Ziti Dittweiler, and you don't see them around, or, you know, you're hoping they would make it. You're not going to live a torturous life that way in heaven, wondering about where all those people are. It can't be that way. So we are in history. You're in it. And we know what we know up to this point because we lived it, we can see it, and we can read the Scripture. But later on, looking back, you won't know that until you're there. You know. So, but we will be like Him when we do arrive into the kingdom of heaven. And so it won't be a carnal brain anymore. It'll be a new man. We've borne the earthly, we will bear the heavenly. But the point, these last two Sundays that I've really been stirring in my heart is, let us know the Jesus more completely than just one day that the world knows Him. That's just one day, then the rest of the year, go do your thing, you know, whatever. I'll be nice to you December 25th, but after that, you forget it, you know. Uncle Charles is coming over. Never comes over anymore, but he's coming over Christmas Day. He comes over once a year that way, but the rest of the year, he is a jerk, you know. There's a lot of people just kind of having some kind of a carnal thing going on that particular day. But we're talking about 24/7, knowing the richness of what God has done. And those of you that are seeking to just walk with Jesus daily, you understand what I'm talking about. But we're talking about relationship every day. But to understand that what was Jesus doing before He came to this earth is powerful. And we're not even getting into all the other Scriptures that you can look up. So a few of them are listed here in Hebrews chapter 1. Talks about, and I have to say this about Hebrews chapter 1. It's so powerful. Let's look at that and then we're going to close. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews has always been really touching my heart, meaning so much to me, so edifying. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. What does your Bible say? Through whom also He made the world. The world was made through Jesus Christ. I don't think everybody in the world knows that. They just know Him as a baby Jesus, I guess. And in Easter, somebody is crucified. Other than that, He has nothing to do with what we see in the world. He made the world. God made the world through Jesus. Through whom also He made the world. This is incredible. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature and upholds all things by the word of His power. I'm going to ask you a question. He upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purifications of sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Who upholds all things by the word of His power? I want someone to think about that. Get some cells going. What does that mean to you? He upholds all things by the word of His power. I'm going to give you an illustration of that, but I want to know what you think about that. The world was made through Him. And now we're hearing that He upholds all things by the word of His power. What does that mean to you? Pop quiz. Mary.
Control. Regulates.
I like that. Control.
Or regulates.
Or regulates. I like that. Anybody else? I'm not going to let you off the hook.
When
it's powerful.
When we speak of the will of the Word, Jesus is the Word,
mm-hmm.
right?
So mm-hmm. Yes, He is.
The Word of His power. I mean, through Christ and His Word is final. The Word of His power. I mean,
authority.
Is that off? It's,
authority. His Word is final.
I mean, He upholds it.
He has the say-so.
The beginning and the end, you know.
The moon is where it is. The ocean only encroaches so far.
I like that.
Life.
I like that.
Life is in all things in the planets.
Precision, huh?
Every single thing is upheld because of Him.
Do you? Shirley, go ahead. I know you're chomping at the bit. Come on. This is some good stuff here now.
I just, He is the Word, and everything that is was spoken into creation. And when spoken, it became an arrangement that God arranged. She said, the earth, the moon, the stars, everything. And that there is power in the word. And at any moment, if God decided he was done with it, I see it on a molecular level, everything just disintegrating and being no more. But it is held together in his arrangement by the word of his power.
Naomi.
Well, this is sort of along with it, but that just shows you, when you speak the name of Jesus, how powerful it is, because he upheld the world. So when he says, when you speak the name of Jesus, there is power, literally, there is power, because, you know, through him, you know, that's what I sort of took from it. So your words, you know, when God's working through you, the Holy Spirit, it's powerful. You speak life or death, literally. Like, I don't think a lot of people know, literally, that's what happens.
The Bible says, too, in our words, we speak either life or death. We do. Let me give you an illustration, see if it makes sense. Everything that y'all are saying is all there, because the delicacy of the universe and the rotation and the revolutions and the change of seasons, the migration of birds and animals. And the other day they went over our house, and I told Shirley, I said, that's just incredible. These ibis were flying over in that perfect V. That's how it shall be. And the migrations and all these things. You ever think about, why are those jokers up there flying that way? Because God set it in motion. He's upholding that. But let me give you an illustration, a simple illustration. How many of you have seen these? Most everybody has. These party blow-ups. You can have a party blow-up castle. You can have a party blow-up whatever, all kinds of things. But how are they sustained? What gives them life?
The air.
Yeah, the air gives them life. My nephew in Tennessee has party rentals. I've been with them. They're very heavy. Some of them are very massive. They get them on a lift on the truck, and they go up to where the party is, and they just start kicking it and pushing it and rolling it until you get that air in that sucker. You get the air going in that thing. You plug it in. It has no life whatsoever. But when you plug the air into it, little by little, it resurrects. It little creases start popping out, and oh, there's going to be the turret, you know, coming up there on the castle, and there goes the slide part of it. It's coming up, you know, and just give it time, keep the air coming, you know, and it comes up, and what sustains it? The pneuma, the breath. Sustains that blow up. Go over there and pull the plug. Go turn it off.
I've gotten stuck in one of those. It's not fun.
As it was depleting its air.
And there's tons of kids, and you're like,
Does that make sense? I'm just giving you an illustration, just a simple illustration. He upholds all things by the word of his power. When Jesus, and it's going to come. Except it doesn't say about pulling the plug, but it does say that everything, the world is going to be rolled up like a scroll. It's going to be rolled up like a scroll. When Jesus pulls the plug, all the cockiness and all the pride that you see in the world, those people are going to have bowel problems. I promise you. When they see these things happening, they're going to go, uh-oh. I just soiled my pants. Fear. Fear. Because he that is coming will come. And when he pulls the plug, the world is going to see who really is in charge, which he already is. See, we that are his children should rejoice today to know he is from the beginning. He came to this earth, born of the Virgin Mary, by the seed, the very sousia, the very power of God, brought that birth forth. crucified, buried, resurrection, and he's coming again. People get ready. There's a train a-coming. Picking up passengers from coast to coast. You don't need a ticket. You just get on board. You just thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Now, there are other scriptures, but I just felt so compelled to share with you the Jesus that was in the beginning, the Christ before Christmas. The Jesus, the ruling, reigning, and creating from the beginning, God that we serve, the Christ that we serve. All other gods, all other worldviews, all other world philosophies are just foolishness. They cannot give you life. So, in your daily walk with the Lord, seek to know Him better. Seek for Him to impart that pneuma, that breath in you, to blow you up in life, not blow you up to destroy you, or not to blow you up in pride. He won't do that, but to give you life. Or else you're just going to be a flat, wrinkled mess the rest of your life. You're not going to come to life, the life that God has for you. So either come to life or stay wrinkled. Stay dead. You know. But why not live? Why not experience the life that God's for you? This is what I see happening in many of your lives. I see, and I'm experiencing testimonials that relate to life. I praise God for it. I'm just a man. I'm not God. I'm not your judge. I'm just saying, as a brother in the Lord, I see life and I love it. It's good. Shirley sees a change in me. I thank God for it. I've seen changes in her. I thank God for that. She's laid her life down. She's just done it over and over again. And I thank God for you, Shirley. I cannot have time to elaborate, but God knows the fullness of that. He knew what He was doing. He put us together. But I am not going to run. There's nowhere to go. Or go ahead and try it. Go ahead. See how far you get. If you love the Lord, you're going to come back, you know. And I said this before because it's a great illustration. How many of you saw the movie The Horse Whisperer by Robert Redford? And he's trying to train this horse, and the horse is wild. He's been hitting an injury. He had a temperament. He's really wild. So he jumped out of the corral, the training corral. He jumped out. He ran. Robert Redford just watched him run. Just let the horse run. The horse ran as far as the horse wanted to run. He didn't try to stop him. He just let him run. And all of a sudden, it shows different sequences as the day went on. That was early in the morning. As the day went on, and noon and afternoon, and it was getting toward evening, here comes the horse. They show different scenes where the horse was getting closer and closer and closer. And Robert Redford was just standing there in the field waiting for him. And the horse came up to him, and Robert Redford reached out and touched the horse. The horse came back. And so you can run, but if you love the Lord, you're not going to get anywhere by doing that. And you can run by being stubborn. You can run by doing a lot of things. You know what I'm talking about. But it's not going to do you any good. Growth happens when you look to the Lord. Growth happens when you say, Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. And Jesus knew what he was talking about. Praise the Lord. It's a glorious walk. It's a glorious salvation. It's a glorious day in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's just the way it is. You're going to go through trials. You're going to have to get in there and get muddy at times. And clean bathrooms at times. I thank God for you guys because you're for real. You really are. And I thank God that I see growth and a lot of things going on here in your life. So I just bless the Lord for you. Really do. And, you know, Mary, I was last week, I don't want to keep you guys either. Now, whenever you got your schedules, you got Christy's schedule and everything. So if you're ever here and whatever's going on and you need to leave at that time that you need to get to where you need to be, You just have that great liberty to do that. I am so blessed to have you guys hang out with us today for your time frames, what's going on. I just want you to know that. And you can, anybody have situations that happen, and you can get up, you can leave, and we're still going to love you. So we all got different things that we're facing. All right, let's all stand. If there's anyone listening to this message today, I do not want to fail to say to you that God loves you. He has a plan for your life. If you want to experience that plan of eternal life, and that's the bottom line, then you're going to have to do it God's way. You're going to have to humble yourself to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and ask Him to forgive you for the foolishness of your ways, your life. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Jesus to come into your life. And He will do that right where you are. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, who was from the beginning, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do not delay in doing that. You don't know the number of days that you have on this earth. So those who are listening to me, either here or through this internet, you know, consider Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. And you simply do that by asking Him to come in your life and to forgive you. Very simple, very powerful, very glorious. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.